you were to explain, 10 years from now, what election season 2016 was like, how would you describe it?
20 years in the making. I think the 2016 election cycle is one of the most dynamic in the modern history of the United States, showing just how split the electorate is in their thinking or lack thereof. the vote is very much reflective of our society, and our society is very split. We have education system that's been coming on for 20 years, which tends toward the more, socialistic left, and Bernie Sanders' supporters certainly showed that in the fact that Bernie Sanders picked up almost 72% of the kids, especially college graduates between 18 and 40. Where did they learn to be so socialistic? They didn't grow up during the Cold War like the baby boomer generation did. They never saw the failure of the socialistic system in Europe. There were, multiple attempts at making socialism work in not only Russia, but lots of Eastern Europe and Italy and Greece and South and Central America. I mean, tremendous populist governments got elected. Unfortunately, our kids today have never really seen that failure, and we don't teach it in our schools anymore. This election has been coming on for a long time. And the candidates that ended up emerging to the top, first off, let's face it, Bernie was a critical other candidate, and the Democratic Party had enough superdelegates in place from previous ways that they didn't let him rise to the top, so they got their establishment candidate over on the Democratic side. But certainly starting out with 19 or whatever it was candidates, Trump arose to the top for the exact same reason that Bernie Sanders had so much support, which was anti-Washington, D.C., anti-establishment. And certainly our Republican Party, we have a tremendous amount of anti-establishment. I mean, we got a plenty amount of anti-establishment voters. But we also have in the Republican Party an awful lot of establishment in place in Washington that don't want to see the changes.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the other thing that's been coming on and why I say this election has been 20 years in the making is in over the last 20 years, the middle class of America has done poorer. They haven't done as well. And so the people that are looking at the election today are people that are saying, well, I guess I've done okay, but will my kids have as good an opportunity in the future as I had? And those that answer that no were the ones looking for fundamental change to get middle America going again. And I think that's what this election was all about. The candidates that ended up at the top were more indicative of that fundamental assessment of the vote in America. And that's how they got up there. And so Trump rose to the top because he reached outside of the party lines of the Republican Party and very much reached to what is more and more unaffiliated voters. I mean, let's face it, right here in Pitkin County, I mean, we got more unaffiliated than we do Democrats or Republicans. So that's indicative of just what I'm talking about. People are no longer as enamored with the two-party group because the two-party groups have both gotten to Washington, they haven't cut spending, they haven't made it better for the middle class. And so the middle class is rejecting them, and they're becoming unaffiliated. And the unaffiliated are controlling the elections. They have for the last number of election cycles, but now the, shall we say, the silent majority is speaking up more than they have, and that's really the secret of what happened in the 2016 vote.
So you're right. Here in Pickens County and Colorado, there's so many unaffiliateds. Do you have a sense of how some of the breakdown is going to go, presidential, but even some of these other congressional and statewide measures, you know, down ballot? How do we even guess how those are going to go with so many people not, you know, solidly in one party or the other?
Well, that's a very good question. And to make any prediction would truly be a guess. You know, let's face it, our U.S. Senate candidate, Darrell Glenn, you know, a guy who came up through the caucus grassroots process, but then did not get the backing of the party at the either state or national level. You know, well, what the heck? If we're supposed to be a grassroots party, you know, why didn't our establishment parties back him? You know, very unfortunate there, but he's run an incredible race and he's within single digits. Anything could happen there. I mean, it's a long shot. He's been totally under, you know, he's been outspent by, I don't know, ridiculous numbers. But
yeah,
that, you know, and the difference between he and Senator Bennett, incumbent, you know, couldn't be any more 180 degrees. So that's exactly kind of what we're talking about. Very difference in opinion. This is a young black guy who has absolutely prospered in America. He's played the game the way it's supposed to be. He went through the Naval Academy, 21 years of military experience. And yet is our society, you know, outside? I mean, the Republican Party, the people have certainly backed him. But are the rest of the people in the state going to back him? Who knows? The unaffiliated certainly have the capability to win that election if they back Darrell Glenn, you know, and that's where we're coming from. So that's a real interesting race that reflects what we're talking about. The Republicans have a minority candidate out there, super highly qualified, but will the liberal left vote for him when they talk about helping blacks all the time? Not likely. And yet here's a guy who could do more for the south side of Denver, and as he said in his campaign, hey, I can go and campaign in the inner city. And he's totally correct. So here's a guy who has been successful, you know, raised up a family of his own, and he's got kids, and he understands all the issues, and he's made it. Why do we not want to elect a guy who is successful? And he's not on the welfare system. He's not in our safety nets. You know, he's made it. So, you know, as hopefully the unaffiliated will reach out to him. You know, and that's an important thing, Allison, we need to say. The unaffiliated actually tend to be, shall we say, one of the more involved in looking at the election issues, to their credit. The reason they have fallen away from both parties is that they're not just drinking the, you know, the standard line of the party. They're looking at, hey, you know, are you guys doing what you're saying you're going to do? Well, maybe not so much. So I'm going to drop out of the party line, and I am going to really study the candidates more. And that is they are the ones affecting the election. And the good news is, as you see from these reporters that we put on the street these days to go interview people, you know, it started Howard Stein, started to do some of it, and you got Waters World and, you know, O'Reilly, but, you know, the liberal media has their other people that are on the street. The amount of knowledge that our voter has about the American system, our Constitution, why it's unique in the world, is abysmal. It's abysmal. That's what's being reflected in the vote. So we got more people that can tell you what Kim Kardashian wore for Halloween, you know, than we do what the effect of this election will be on the Supreme Court. You know, we have more people that spent more money on their Halloween costume this last weekend then they are willing to contribute to a political candidate to get him elected. You know, they're willing to spend hundreds of dollars on Halloween and drinks and party and cocktails and all that, and they're unwilling to write a $25 check to a political candidate to support one of the greatest democracies that's ever been. We're more than a democracy. We are a full constitutional republic, and there's a huge difference between that, you know. So I think that's the, looking back at the election, a lot will get written about it, not because the candidates were so volatile and all the issues. That isn't what made this campaign. That was the cover, unfortunately, that sells newspapers and sells television time. So people covered it that way. But the real story behind this election is way deeper. And it shows really the split in thinking. We have certain people that are hardcore capitalist free market people and want the economy to run, continue to run that way because it's been so successful at developing a middle class. And we got a lot of people that tend toward the socialist mentality. But we've had it before. We had a lot of socialists around in the 20s. You know, FDR had a lot of socialists in his administration back then. You know, I mean, that's how the whole McCarthyism thing rose up. Yeah.
So we're
kind of back in that thinking. You know, we have not, as a country and our education system, sold the idea that capitalism works well. As a matter of fact, we got more television things, American greed and all this stuff that shows how bad it is. And that's, although there's examples of bad in all things, free market capitalism is a heck of a lot better than a dictatorship where only the guys connected to the dictator make all the money.
So it sounds like not only was it 20 years in the making, this election is going to have an effect decades into the future, depending
on... It'll have 20, 30 years of effect. Absolutely. You know, I mean, the obvious effect is simple. If the Democratic Party wins, and essentially wins enough to get the presidency and the Senate, the nominations to the Supreme Court will affect the United States for the next 30, 40 years, and it will change the country to a European socialist country. Hillary's made that very clear. And you will eliminate God from, you know, our Declaration of Independence says we hold these rights, you know, that they're inalienable rights given to us by our Creator, regardless of your religion, but by our Creator. There's more question that the Supreme Court will eliminate that concept that those rights come from your Creator and they will rewrite the Constitution to make it come from the government. And that's a huge loss. You know, I mean, our country has been a stalwart freedom of that, and now we'll be just like other countries where your quote-unquote rights are going to come from the government. It'll put the government in a much higher position. But that's a fundamental difference on both sides of what people think about this election. The Democrats or left-leaning people think the government is the answer, and the Republican conservatives are much more into small government and believe the people are the answer and that government works for the people. The Democrats believe that the government knows how to do it better than the people do. I mean, and that's a huge split. I mean, that's not the candidates. The candidates aren't dreaming that up. That's the voter base.
How ready are you for November 9th?
Personally, super ready. Yeah, I'd like to get back to a real life, you know. It's been a very, very interesting election, election cycle. The good thing about elections, they're like natural disasters. So, you know, they tend to bring people together. You spend a lot of time talking to a lot of people on more in-depth issues. So as a personally, for my wife and I mean, we've had an exceptional ride working the Saturday market 19 weeks out there talking to people, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day.
Wow.
you know, you really do learn a lot about America. What was especially interesting at the Saturday market was the people that were the most conservative and the strongest Trump backer were all foreigners. People that were visiting Aspen.
Wow.
From a Russia, from a Venezuela. You know, a couple of women from Venezuela, they said, you Americans you're just unwilling to look at the rest of the world. We are dying in Venezuela underneath, you know, the socialistic system that Hugo Chavez put in place. And they said, you guys should do a television commercial that just takes radio television cuts of Hugo Chavez promising free education, free health care, free jobs, free this, and then to cut to Obama saying the same thing, and then cut to Hillary Clinton saying the same thing.
Wow.
And it all sounds, all that popular stuff sounds beautiful. These are the actual Venezuela people we were talking to said, this. It all sounds beautiful. It just doesn't work. You know, you run out of money. This economic system does not prosper under that thinking. And as Margaret Thatcher said in the 70s, in the 80s, and Margaret Thatcher said in the 80s, socialism looks good until you run out of other people's money to spend.
What a neat experience to speak with so many different people.
Oh, phenomenal. I mean, another perfect example, we had some Russians were standing there talking to us one day. And they said, well, how you doing with Trump? And you know, they were, of course, this was early on before the convention, and myself and just one or two of them, even our party didn't want to work the booth, you know? Nobody wanted to stand out there and take the heat. And so this Russian guy and his wife were standing there. They said, well, do you have people willing to walk up and admit they're for Trump? And I said, well, actually not. You know, it's still early. There's tremendous, the press is doing everything to destroy him. Of course, he's doing everything to destroy the press. You know, he's a very controversial guy, and he's not spending the money, on news coverage that most candidates do. So, you know, the press, by definition, are not big on him because he's not doing it the way the other candidates do. You know?
Yeah.
But the Russian guy is standing there, and he's asking me, and I said, so what's interesting to me is that there are a lot of Trump supporters out there. They're just so intimidated. They're unwilling to express it in public. And the Russian looks at me and he says, but this America, you're supposed to have the First Amendment. You're supposed to be able to say what you want to. I said, you're correct on paper, but we're more and more with our political correctness suppressing that First Amendment open speech. And I said, and so he said, well, how do you know that they're Trump supporters? And I said, well, I just watch people as they're going by on the street, and you can see them look at the booth, and then you'll see them see the Trump sign, and they will literally, and I demonstrated, I just held my hand out by my pocket, and I gave it a little thumbs up. And the guy says, wow, they won't even walk over. And I said, no. Literally within about 3 minutes, someone walked by, and the Russian and I were still talking, and he did exactly that. The guy just held his thumb up and showed me support, but he wasn't willing to walk over. The reaction of the Russian citizen was phenomenal. He said, that is just stunning. That is what we have to do in Russia. He said, I just can't believe that your citizens in America are so suppressed that they can't speak out. You're the beacon of the world for the First Amendment, and yet you, in less than 3 minutes, demonstrated how suppressed your society has become here.
I can't, yeah.
And so that was one of the good stories of the, you know, of the summer and this election cycle. Another really good one came, a couple from Brussels, who live literally less than two blocks or something from where the bombing went off in Brussels.
Yeah.
And they said the same thing. And so my question to them was, why don't we hear you people in Brussels speaking out against that bombing? They said, we have hate speech laws. And I said, what does that mean? They said, if you were to come out or stand in public like you are right here and say that you were opposed to that bombing, or if you were to write a letter to the editor, they would jail you because of hate speech. I said, I just can't even imagine that's happening in Europe. She said, it's all over Europe. It's all over. So you can't say anything like that. So those were kind of the interesting lessons that we learned from being in this election cycle. But like I said, it's not so much about the candidates. The candidates are just symptomatic. It took a guy like Donald Trump that was financially wealthy enough that he could fight both sides of the system.
Right.
You know, independently. He did not have to be under the pressure of his donors to say, you can't say that. You got to take that back, you know? He's a very, very, very strong character. When you think of how much money got spent trying to destroy him and his business, it's a miracle he's still standing. You know? And it takes a guy that strong to make the fundamental change in an American system that's been, you know, especially deteriorated in Washington, D.C. for the last 50 years. Yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for your time and your perspective. It's really well thought out, and I really appreciate you always being open to speaking with me.
You bet. And but the bottom line is, you know, we got to look forward to the fact that Trump's going to win on next Tuesday. And I think the election will be much closer than people think, because exactly that same intimidation that's out there, you know, I'm not picking on candidates here, but Hillary has certainly shown what entrenched power looks like. You know, if we look at Venezuela and countries like that, we don't think it's good that the dictator is making a tremendous amount of personal money off of selling influence of his government.
Right.
But we're certainly doing it here.
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference between the two candidates. And as more and more of this comes to the surface, you know, it's a little late. We might not have gotten as much out there as we should, but, you know, all these emails, when we threw Richard Nixon out that many years ago for erasing 12 minutes of, you know, tape, we got 30,000 emails here and nobody even cares. So big changes, but those are the changes in America.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
But I think in closing, I think you'll see that Trump will survive the system, and it'll be a record turnout of voters, which is good for America. And, I'd like to think that enough silent majority Americans are going to come to the polls to get Donald Trump elected, and we fundamentally might get America headed back toward more of its roots, more of its constitutional roots, and a smaller government concept.
Bob, thank you so much for speaking with me.
All right, Allison. All the best.